Let me introduce to you our guest preacher this morning, Dr. William Wan, who is a General Secretary of the Singapore Kindness Movement. He's also on the board of many other non-profit and governmental organisations here in Singapore, and he's here to be part of our bicentennial sermon series, bringing a subject that's close to his heart, which is kindness. It's good to have you with us, Dr. William. Thank you.
Let's
welcome our preacher here today.
Thank you. Please be seated. It is always a privilege to preach God's word. I was here this morning, and many years ago I preached here. It's been a long time. I am asked that we continue the series on righteousness in the nation, to consider how, as Christians, we can contribute to the righteousness of this nation, how by our own witness and testimony we can make the nation stronger, draw the hearts of men and women and children to the Lord. And it's not just about the word we speak or the gospel that we preach, it's also about our life and how we live out the Christ-likeness, the life of the Spirit that we profess to have. And so, I am going to speak to you about making kindness our business. Now, 2 Samuel, that was read to us, chapter 9, we have King David going to the house of Saul. And a question that King David asked was, how can I be kind to the house of Saul? Now remember two things. First, King David had just been made king in chapter 5. He was made king as a successor to Saul. He was only 30 years old. He served as king for 40 years. He reigned as for 40 years. But the second thing to note is that he went to the house of Saul. Now, Saul wasn't a friend of David. Saul was David's king. But Saul wasn't very kind to David. In fact, David did so much for the nation. David, you remember the big battle between David and Goliath? David beat Goliath. David led the army of Saul into many victories. David delivered Israel from the palace, from the Philistines, and yet King Saul wasn't at all grateful. He became envious and jealous, and he was finding ways and means to destroy him. Thankfully, David had a friend in Jonathan, the prince. Jonathan wasn't thinking of himself and his own career as a successor. He was obviously a godly man. He was standing on the side of righteousness, and he turned against the father effectively. Father, of course, was disappointed, but Jonathan was a great help to David. Anyway, interestingly, the scripture says David did not go to the house of Jonathan, so to speak, but went to the house of Saul. I guess the emphasis is that he didn't go to the house of his friend, Jonathan, but he went to the house of his enemy, Saul, to practice kindness. Now, you know that in the old days, the despots, the tyrants, the kings, the emperors, they plundered, they killed, they take, they don't give. And when they had the power, they would want to empower themselves more by taking more. David did exactly the opposite. The priority for him, having become king, was not to take more, but to give away. And so we read the story of David going to the house of Saul, and finally through Ziba, the servant, found Mephibosheth and told him, look, you know, I want to do good to you and your family. Whatever I have taken, we will give it back, everything. Not only that, I'm going to take care of you. You come and live with me in the king's house. And what you want to do is you eat with me. and I'm going to get the servants of my servant Zipper and the family, and they will take care of you and your family. What kindness is that? Two things to note. First is that the first question that David asked in verse 1 is, who in the house of Saul can I show kindness to? But the second time the question was asked in verse 3, something changed. David said, who in the house of Saul can I show God's kindness to? What is that? That simply means that as far as King David is concerned, whatever kindness he was going to show to the house of Saul, Mephibosheth and his family, it's not his kindness, but the kindness of God. Very important to remember that. So there are two things, starting with verse 3 and then go back to verse 1. I want to say, first of all, that kindness is the reflection of God. Kindness is actually God's kindness. In fact, we are able, of all people in the world, to show kindness because we know God. And God's Spirit is in us and will empower us to show kindness. It should be more natural for us Christians to show kindness than anybody else. I give you the reasons here. Because first of all, God is kind. Psalms 23 verse 6, and I'm reading from the Living Bible. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all my life, the psalmist says. And afterwards, I will live with you forever in your home. On earth, your kindness will be with me all my life. Christians has to be identified with kindness, associated with kindness. People should be able to say to us, what a kind person you are. What a gracious person you are. Because kindness is with us all our life. You know, when Moses led the people out of Egypt, the people were not grateful. The people of God were complaining, negative. They were saying to Moses, why did you do this? We have nothing here. This is a God-abandoned place. We wish we were back in Egypt. At least we have food and drinks. And they were complaining, and they were complaining. Do you know, in spite of all their complaints, God's kindness did not leave them. We can identify with God's people in the Israelites in the wilderness, because very often we are not worthy of God's kindness. We are not worthy of having God's kindness with us all the days of our life, as Psalms 23 indicates, that goodness and mercy shall be with us all the rest of our life, all the way. You know, Nehemiah chapter 9 is recorded for us that the people of God refused to listen. They did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return them to slavery in Egypt. The worship of the golden calf, no less led by a brother of Moses, Aaron himself. But you, Nehemiah says, are a God of forgiveness. You are gracious and you are compassionate. You are slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And you did not forsake them. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like all of us. And that God's kindness should continue to be with us when we are disobedient and stiff-necked and stubborn, just like the Israelites. Thankfully, kindness is not dependent on our goodness. It is entirely dependent on God's grace and mercy in us. Joseph, a man who was a bit of a braggart and showed off to his brothers about what his father gave him and caused his brothers to be envious and jealous and upset, and his brothers sold him up the river or down the river. And he became a slave. God allowed him to go through many trials, including being in the house of Potiphar. And the wife tried to seduce him, and he was trying to be the godly person and rejected the advances of the Potiphar's wife and said, "I can't sin against God and against my master. And we would have thought that God would honor him and protected him and so on, but God did not. God allowed him to go to jail for that. But it was in jail that God showed kindness to him. So Genesis 39, verse 21, Joseph confessed, the Bible says the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. My brothers and sisters, sometimes we misinterpret what kindness is all about. We think kindness is about blessings and prosperity and health and everything else. Yes, indeed, that's part of it. But that's only one side of the coin. The other side is affliction and suffering and pain, and that is kindness too. God can show kindness to us in all kinds of circumstances and context, because God is sovereign. And God showed kindness to Joseph even after he was sold down the river and after he wasn't protected from jail. And when he was in jail, God showed kindness to him. So the next time we have some little affliction, a little suffering, a little pain, let's not be too quick to say God is not kind to us. Let us pause to think about what God is doing to and for us, because God is ultimately good and he doesn't will any bad to us. He uses even the vehicle of pain to accomplish his good purposes. And that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. The cross was a vehicle of capital punishment. The cross was a place of pain and death. And if you think of the Son of God, who is perfect human, and if you think that we can suffer pain as an imperfect person, then you can imagine how intense and how perfect that pain must have been for Jesus Christ. And yet it was through his suffering that Jesus Christ redeemed us, that God showed his kindness to us. That's exactly what we read from Titus chapter 3. That indeed it is the kindness. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. How did he save us? By having Jesus Christ go through the pain and suffering and death on that cross. There is such a thing as a redemptive suffering for the good of others. I was in Washington, D.C. when I met Joni Erickson. Some of you must have read her story. She had a terrible diving accident when she was 18 years old on the way to college. A believer. But she became a paraplegic. And she complained against God for 2 years. She attempted suicide. She said, "God, why do you allow this to happen to me?" She was a beautiful woman. She's exactly my age. And for 2 years, she wanted to die. She didn't die. Then, in a moment of illumination, God revealed himself afresh to her. And she said, "Well, God, if you don't want me to die, then let me live." And live she did. And she still does. She learned how to paint with her mouth so that she could paint and sell her paintings and raise money for charity. She learned how to sing. She cut many records, sold them, raised money for charity. She became an author, wrote many books, saved his royalty for charity, became a motivational speaker. She could walk into a room full of people in wheelchairs, and you can hear a pin drop because everyone paid attention to her. If you and I should walk into a room full of people in a wheelchair and try to tell them and motivate them and tell them to go on and believe in God and God is good to you, I don't think they would listen very well to us. Because what do we know about being confined to a wheelchair the rest of our life? But they listened to Joni because they could identify with Joni. And Joni started a charity, an international charity, where she was giving away wheelchairs to people who need them, who cannot afford them. You see, when you think of God's sovereignty and God's kindness and God's goodness, we must also understand that God can use His blessing in a very disguised manner. What we don't think, or the world doesn't think to be a blessing, God in His power can turn that into a vehicle for His kindness. What a marvelous God we have. What a wonderful God. And so Jesus Christ came and He reflected the kindness of God. That's for certain. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what He did in His lifetime, a short 33 years. Look at Him walking on the dusty streets of Palestine. Look at the number of people He healed, opened the eyes of the blind, fed the hungry, healed the sick, released those who were in prison. And much of that is really people who were shackled by their own sin. And here we find a woman caught in the act of adultery, shivering in a corner because all these men, leaders of the Jewish community at that time, were very concerned about the application of the law. And since this woman was caught in the act of adultery, they understood that she must pay for it and she must be stoned to death. And they look at Jesus and they said, you know, you claim to be the Son of God. You know the law. What does the law say? Stone her, right? Jesus stood down, and we don't have any idea what He wrote on the ground, but He stood up and looked everyone in their eyes and said, if you have no sin, you cast the first stone. And nobody did. And they walk away. And Jesus looked at this woman, fear and trembling, with tenderness in her eyes and empathy in her voice. And He said to her, woman, go and sin no more. What kindness is that? So, my friends, kindness is a reflection of God. Second and finally, kindness should be the reflexes of all of us who believe in God. It should be a reflex action. The first priority that we should do, as David did in his royal duties, was to go to the house of Saul and show kindness. It should be ours too. We should be like David, imitating God's kindness by loving our enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind, even to the ungrateful and the evil ones. It's so easy to be kind to those who are kind to us. But Jesus says, go out and be kind to those who are not kind to us. People who persecute us, people who don't like us, people who are prejudiced against us. The history of the church is replete with many, many stories of persecuted Christians who turned to their persecutors and showed kindness and caused them to turn to God. And so Paul says, put on then God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Why? Because kindness reflects the heart of God. Men and women today cannot see the heart of God, but they can appreciate kindness. Kindness needs no definition. We know kindness when we receive it, and we know unkindness or cruelty when we receive that. And when men and women see kindness in our action, in our eyes, in our faces, in our words, they will see God. Kindness reflects the heart of God. And that's why kindness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and so on. 9 elements of that. Like the arch stone in the old days, before cement was ever used, they put stones and cut them in such a way that you can build an arch with whatever number of stones. In the case of 9 stones, you have one right in the middle, the 5th stone. That's called the headstone. And you lift the headstone, everything falls apart because the headstone keeps the stones together. Kindness is the 5th stone. That important. Kindness keeps all that characteristics of the Christian together. And so, my brothers and sisters, we are told to be the light of the world. We are told that a town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under the bowl. We are called to be the light of the world. How do we shine for Jesus in the city of Singapore, in the nation of Singapore, in the world? The world is full of darkness. I often think of it and pray that His kingdom must come soon. There is so much wickedness in the world. So much terror, so much pain. I have 4 grandchildren. My eldest grandson is 23 years old. And I see them grow up and I wonder, what kind of the world are they inheriting? And yet God says, we must shine as light in this world. In a world of unkindness, let kindness shine. In the world of cruelty and pain and suffering inflicted by fellow humans on fellow humans, let kindness shine. And we must not hide it. We must not hide our kindness. We must stand on the highest ground and extend kindness to all, that they may see God's heart. And through our good works, they may glorify our Father who is in heaven. Yes, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify God, your Father in heaven. I often pray and wish that more Christians will embrace the kindness movement which I lead, the Singapore Kindness Movement. We are one of the very few countries, Japan is another one, where kindness is actually officially supported by the government. Romans 13 makes it very clear, my brothers and sisters, where the government is doing good, it is our duty and responsibility to support the government. And in the case of supporting kindness, we are supporting the government to try to get the message out, to make Singapore a better place, a more gracious place, a place where there is kindness and care and compassion and generosity and philanthropy and volunteerism and all these good things to make Singapore better. I would encourage you, if you have the chance after the service, take out your phone and like our Facebook and follow us, because we have many inspiring stories to tell you about kindness in Singapore, so that you can be inspired to continue to blaze the light of kindness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do that. Kindness is about other-centeredness. Human decency is about being kind to fellow human beings. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 says very clearly, love is kind. I often wonder about love because it's such a commonly used word that we sing and we make movies out of love and we write books about love. But what is love? Love is kind. I'd like to suggest to you that kindness is the action word for love. Kindness is a verb as well. So there are three things in closing that I will summarize about how we can make kindness our business. The ABC of making kindness our business. A, act kindly. You know the scriptures, forgive even as you are forgiven. Some of us are shackled by our own unforgiveness, keeping resentment and bitterness in our hearts for years and years and years. Let them go. Get out there and be kind to people who are not kind to us. That's what Jesus says. And then we'll be free. Free to do more for God. Someone defines unforgiveness as taking poison ourselves, because unforgiveness eats into us, make us very bitter people, not nice to be around, always angry and resentful. And it's like taking poison every day and hoping that the one who hurts us would die. My friends, they won't die. We die. So we don't want to do that. We want to set ourselves free and act kindly and be liberated to serve God even more. Let passing things pass. Be gracious to others. Be considerate. Give up your seat. Don't litter. Simple things like that. Smile. Say thank you. Appreciate people who serve us. Make them feel that they are appreciated. All these are part of being kind. Act kindly. Today, if you happen to know some visitors here, you know, when you're out there, you realize that you've never met, shake their hand, say, thank you for coming to church today. Nice to meet you. That's all part of kindness, because we respect each other in the common space. Talk to one another. Be blessed generously. Singapore is a wealthy country by any measure today. Bless others with our wealth. There are still many who have fallen between the cracks. This morning, I was having breakfast with my friend before coming for the early morning service at 6 a.m. at the Airport Road Hawker Center. 6 a.m. and sometimes at midnight and past midnight. Who do you see working out there? People who are the ages of our grandparents. How sad is that? You know, there are many people who are not making it. Let's be generous. Let's help them to live a better life. Support charities. Be volunteers. Kindness is other-centeredness. Think about how we can benefit others. Make life better. Make a difference to their life. Leave a legacy behind. Bless generously our time, our treasure, our talent. Care deeply. Caring goes beyond just money and time. Don't just clock in time and clock out time because there is a corporate social responsibility thingy that you got to do because you're working in a company. Do it with your heart. Care deeply. You really care for people. That's why you do it. And that means you want to show your presence. Be present with people. Listen to people who have a problem. Forget about answering your iPhone. Can we not do that? So often the iPhone becomes more important than the people we talk to. It's an insult to people, you know, when we are talking to someone and he's more interested in the iPhone than in you. Let's change our habits and let's say, I really care. I'm here for you. I'm listening. And I will respond. That's being kind. I've written the book. This is my 10th book, and I've got some out there. If you're interested, please come and see me after the service. It's called Through the Valley, The Art of Living and Leaving Well. I realize that we all have an expiry date, all of us. I just went to a wake for a 48-year-old. It doesn't matter how old we are. We have an expiry date. And I wrote this book to challenge. It's a secular book by the Straits Times Press. Reading from a Christian perspective, writing from the Christian perspective to encourage Singaporeans who read this to be kind to ourselves. You only got a short time to live. and then to be kind to others. How can we do that? How can we live well? Living well is to leave a legacy behind of kindness to others. And then to live well so that at the end of the day when we close our eyes, we have no regrets. We know that we have done all we can in the name of the Lord. And then we can live well knowing that we leave nothing, no loose ends untied. And then we can live in peace, leaving no mess behind. That's what I've written. So God bless you. I'm very passionate about kindness, and that's all in the book, because we need it more today than ever before. God bless you.